Welcome, everyone, to another edition of our series called Where Are They Now? This one is starring Paul Hicks, and we are very excited to have Paul Hicks in studio with us. He is a former mayor of Hastings. He has also worked very, very hard in a career that we want to hear about because now he's fully retired, and we just want to get caught up with you. Great to see you.
Well, thank you so much for asking me to be here, Mo. You know, I'm familiar with these digs here. It feels great to be back.
Yes, you are very familiar with these digs. You have fully retired now from your civilian career. Tell people about that, please.
Well, I spent 41 years working with the Minnesota House of Representatives. I worked in the office of the chief clerk, which is a nonpartisan office.
Okay.
Many people, when they watch the legislature or you watch Congress, you see people up the front desk doing a whole bunch of paperwork. And there's a lot of people behind the scenes that make that all work. And I was involved with that. I supervised an office that had a lot of contact with the public. We would make sure that people get copies of legislation, either the public or the members, votes. People would come into my office and say, hey, I want to know how my representative voted on the tax bill. Can I have a copy of that vote? They would ask for the House Journal, which is the official proceedings of the House. That's one of the main missions of the chief clerk's office, is to provide the journal, which is constitutionally required by the Minnesota Constitution. And we did a lot of public relations kind of things. You know, I gave a lot of tours at the Capitol.
Okay.
I know the building very well. And the House chamber, bring in groups from around the state or from around the world at times, you know, give them a little tour of the Capitol, mm-hmm. and things like that on the side. And it was a great 41 years. People ask me, what do you think about working in government and
right.
particularly at the state Capitol? I tell people, this is the absolute truth. Two things I would never regret and I would do it again. Mm-hmm. One was work for the House of Representatives in that capacity. It was the best career ever and I loved every second of it. You know, when you stay one place for 41 years, you kind of like it, right? And the second thing was being a local elected official, you know, being a city council member for 16 years and then after that, 12 years as mayor, mm-hmm. I would do that again too. It was so great. It was so fulfilling and rewarding. And I miss both. I enjoyed working at the Capitol. I enjoyed being a local elected official. But now it's me time.
Did the House of Representatives then had your position, and then did the Senate also have a position like that?
Yes.
Okay.
They're called the Secretary of the Senate, comparable to the Chief Clerk's Office of
okay.
the House.
Okay. Yeah. And what did you like about the House of Representatives so much?
Oh, you know, people say this, it's kind of a cliche, but in my case, it's very, very true, is the people. You get to meet 134 state representatives that represent people from all over the state. My staff and the staff of the chief clerk's office and the staff of the Minnesota House. Very interesting people, all dedicated to public service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a tremendous loss this year, as you know.
Terrible.
It affected me personally. Speaker Hortman was someone that I knew very well, would come and visit us all the time in our office, and very heartbreaking.
It's not only tragic, it's yeah. just so frightening.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, it's kind of scary about everything. And I've noticed the effects of it. You know, you go to the state fair, I was there recently, and you go to some of the politicians' booths, and you say, oh, when so-and-so? Well, we really don't want to announce when so-and-so is going to be there at the booth. They're doing it for security reasons, right?
Oh.
They'll be here at the booth sometime, but they didn't want to say X amount of time in some of these places because, you know, I didn't think of it before, but sure. Security, things like that. So it's kind of changed the landscape. I know the legislature now is considering some more security provisions. One of the things that I was always told, and I could always guess it, was when people came into the Capitol, the Minnesota Historical Society does the tours, but we did some on our own if we had special guests that come mm-hmm. in. They say, Paul, guess what? This Minnesota State Capitol, they're visiting their other state capitals. A lot of folks do that. They come into our Capitol and say, you know what's the number one thing I noticed? I said, yep, I can answer your question. You didn't have to go through a metal detector to get in here. They said, that's it. We couldn't believe it. We just walked in here because I've visited many state capitals mm-hmm. where, you know, you have to go
so
through security checkpoints.
Minnesota Nice is kind of out the window. You're saying we're going to have to start doing that?
No, they haven't made those decisions yet.
Okay.
They're considering some more security. There is security at the Capitol. It's just that you don't see it. That kind
oh,
of
okay.
So, they're, you know, it's not like it's wide open. But they'll probably have discussions about whether or not they should have metal detectors. They haven't really reached a consensus yet. There's also a strong feeling that, you know, we really hate to go to that point because mm-hmm. this is the people's house, you know, the state capitol.
For sure.
And people should be able to access it without being feeling threatened. But heck, just a few blocks from here, when you go to Dakota County Court, you have to go through a metal detector, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So some of the decisions that you're going to have to face.
So Paul, 41 years ago, what did you start out doing at the Capitol?
Well, when I first started, I was an administrative assistant, they called it, and I was hired just for the session. There was the 1983 session, was my first session there, and I worked as part of the chief clerk's office, so I was been there a long time, right? I was just learning the ropes. I knew a little bit about the legislature because I've been involved in programs in college. One of them was called Project 120, which brought 120 students total over 10 weeks, so about 12 students a week for 10 weeks at the legislature, and they would teach them about state government. A lot like the old close-up program that they used to have of
sure.
kids going to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Same thing for a week. You spend a week at the Capitol, learn about state government and things like that. So I had done that in college, worked as an intern. I was a participant when I was in high school, interned when I was in college for a couple of years with them. So I was pretty familiar with the legislature a little bit. I was a poli-sci major and I got a job in government. I was happy about that.
No kidding, because that was a tough time to graduate.
It was 1982 and there was a recession going
for
on.
For sure.
But I was fortunate to be hired.
That's awesome.
At that time in 1983 session, and I was able to stick around. They liked my work.
Did you ever think you would work there, though, for 41 years? What the heck?
No, because you just don't know how your life goes.
And you don't know how fast your life goes. That's the other part, right?
Right.
How did you know it was time to retire?
I always told myself, you know, when I'm 65, I'm going to retire. So last year, I turned 65, and I said, that's the year I'm going to retire. You know, a lot of it's considerations, too. It's hard to retire without medical care. The insurance is many folks won't. And I thought, well, when I'm 65, I'll be Medicare eligible, and I'll join Medicare at that point, things like that. Mm-hmm. 65 isn't very old anymore, so you want to be able to take that time and do the things you always wanted to do, and that's what I decided.
And how long ahead of time did you think that? Was it 5 years, or had you been thinking, oh, I'm going to retire at 65 for 10 years ago? Or
I would say, you know, right around the time I decided not when I did not run for mayor again. Okay. 2018, I decided not to run for re-election. You know, I figured 12 years was long enough, and 28 years was long enough with the city, even though I loved that job.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
But that was the time I said, well, my goal is to retire at 65. I'll take this off my plate. Guide into, because things were getting busier at the legislature. We're having a lot of special sessions. And I thought, well, okay, you know, I'm kind of preparing myself for 7 years later when I turn 65 and I'll retire at that time.
Sounds like it's been a great move for you. But those are hard decisions. Do you think that it was difficult for you to just walk away? And
I'm glad you asked that, Mo, because that's a lot of what I thought about. You know, I'm so used to having people around,
right,
having discussions at the Capitol.
Meaty discussions.
You know, before that with City Hall, a lot of people around, a lot of decisions. Loved it. But I thought, well, how am I going to adapt when I get up one morning and say, okay, I don't have to drive to the Capitol and be involved in the process that during April and May consumes just about all your time, you know, with the legislative sessions, the way they operate. And I thought, boy, how am I going to adjust to that? I'm so used to people around me and making decisions. But you know what? It was easy.
It was?
I was surprised. Because I thought, you know, how am I going to adjust? Because I'm used to being engaged with folks and things.
Right.
But I found it was nice because I was concentrating on the benefits. Oh, I see my brothers more, my family more, my daughter more, my significant other, Susie, more. I'm playing golf a lot more often. I love golf. So, you know, I didn't have to work around my work schedule to try to get it in.
So are you saying that this adage of, I don't know how I ever worked, I'm so busy in retirement, that's true?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's something to that. I like it. I'm going with that one.
Paul, I think that is wonderful.
It's
because
great.
When I think of you, I do think of somebody that you're all in whatever you're doing. And so I think that's hard when you're all in to then dial it back.
That was my mindset. I thought, how am I going to adjust? But for me, I was able to do it, and I'm glad I was able to do it. Some folks are different. Some folks are, you know what? I've been retired 6 months. I got to get back out there.
I know plenty of people like that, don't you?
Yep, I sure do. But I'm not one of them, and I'm glad. Because
did you think you might be?
Yes, that's what I was worried about. I thought, oh, boy. You know, it was a year ago that I retired. And at this time, and I thought, boy, we're going to see how this works. So I wonder what I'm going to be like at the end of September, right? I didn't have any problem transitioning because I had things to do. You know, like I said, golfing and stuff. I golf a couple times a week with former council members, Tony Alangi and Joe Balsanic.
How fun is that?
So, you know, we didn't always agree on city council, but I don't always agree with Tony's score. Just teasing, Tony.
How fun.
You know, and Joe Balsanic, and they're a lot of fun out there.
Yeah.
You know, we like to talk about the old days.
Of course.
At the same time, you know, we really enjoy each other's company and playing a game of golf. Recreation is a wonderful thing, right?
Well, it is. And so you've had a whole year now to go through this retirement piece, and I'm sure there were different seasons in that year. I mean, you had golf when the weather's nice, but then what did you do the other yucky
months?
Well,
you know, I go to Phoenix to golf in January.
Okay.
I'm a big sports fan, so is my family. So we've got plans. You know, we're going to the Vikings-Eagles game in October, the whole Hicks clan. We follow Gopher basketball, Gopher hockey. So we've taken a couple trips to Madison and watched the Gopher hockey team play the Wisconsin Badgers and spend the weekend there. I've got some of my college buddies. We're going to Kansas City to see the Twins play the Royals. Just got that on the books. So it's always things like that keeps me engaged. So a lot of fun things like that. And family events, you know, you make them all now.
I just have to ask about your dear Danielle. We really watched her grow up as you were mayor. When you became mayor, how old was Danielle?
Danielle was about, let's see, I was mayor in 2007, about 8 years old.
Gosh.
And she was 8 years old, and she tells me that that was one of the best times of her life because on Saturdays, I would go down to City Hall and do things in the mayor's office, and I would always bring her down here. And whatever homework that she had, by the time I was done being mayor, she was a junior in college.
Yeah.
So that's all she kind of knew for a long
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dad was the mayor of the town where she was mm-hmm. going to school all the time.
And she was a trooper.
Oh.
I mean, she did everything with you.
Yep. Oh, she would come to a lot of community events. She enjoyed it.
Yes, very
loyal. I
remember
loyal. Her and I out on a national night out quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was a delight. You know, a lot of family history there. You know, when I sat in the mayor's office, I want to tell this little story. Right across, you know, is the little wine coffee shop, Froth and Corks. Well, my mother, when she came to Hastings, she had family in Hastings, and she moved there from North Dakota.
What was her maiden name?
Hadlick.
Okay.
Okay. And McCaffey's lived in town here. She came to Hastings in about
1938. That's where you get your gift of gab, Paul Hicks.
1938. And that was where she grew up, in that house.
Come on.
No. Everybody knows in the mayor's office, you look at the back window, you look right at that house. And she said when she was a little girl, she would go over to the county courthouse, and she would play on those grand staircases there. And she'd say, "Look at me, I'm a princess." My mom told me that story. Well, many years later, I take her down to City Hall on a Saturday, and she's going up and down those same stairs, and she says, "Look at me, Daddy, I'm a princess." I thought, my goodness, we're doing it all over again. You know, so it was quite something.
What a sweet story.
You know, there's a little history of Hastings when you're from this town, and you learn a lot
about
all the things that happen.
So what are some of the other things that you would recommend to people that maybe have retirement on the horizon?
Well, I would think one of the things you probably want to do is talk to some professionals in terms of your financing. You know, retirement's a lot easier if you have money.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have a lot of money, then retirement can be kind of hard. You know,
yes.
There's a lot of folks who probably are working beyond their retirement mm-hmm. age because they feel they have to. That's a difficult thing. So I would recommend anybody, and it doesn't matter how old you are, think about your retirement. Think about
the younger remember, you
so,
think about
if Social Security is still here, let's hope it will be, down the road, what do you do to supplement that Social Security? Because Social Security is not going to pay for your whole retirement income. It can't be your whole retirement. So talk to professionals and be ready. And then when the time comes, you can plan on a happy retirement.
Don't you think you have to have some sort of hobbies, though, or that type of thing also?
Yeah, my hobbies is probably golf, going to sporting events. Love theater, but you can get into them more now. You know, when I was working, I'd love to do this. Oh, I can't. You know, the house is going to be in session that Saturday. I can't go. But whatever your passion is, follow it more. You'll be able to dig into it more, right?
That's great
I'm
advice.
I'm also a Civil War buff. I like to get to a couple more Civil War battlefield sites. I've been to a few, but not as many as I want
to
get to.
Well, that's awesome.
You know, so I read a little bit more. I enjoy reading, especially that period of history. So you never stop learning. I understand that. That's really true. You always mm-hmm. hear people say, oh, you know, you go through your life. That's true. You never do stop learning. Something's always interesting. All you have to do is crack open a book.
So do you have bucket list things, Paul, or...?
You know, I don't want to keep track of a bucket list.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Yeah, because it reminds me of an ending. Yeah, but I have goals to do certain things,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think I'm pursuing them, like golfing more, getting in touch with friends. I just like the flexibility, and I don't want to overcommit. You know, I
isn't
like that
funny?
Yeah, I like that flexibility. I've committed my whole life to a legislative session or a council meeting or this going on or that going on. I like the flexibility, and I think most people are retired. You know, if you think you're going to get bored, just look at it as you have flexibility. You can plan things. You can do things on your own terms instead of somebody else's terms.
And isn't it funny, the less we have to do, kind of the less we want to do, right?
Yeah, yeah. I do like sleeping up. You know, I get up a little bit earlier in the morning than some folks, but I like having the option.
So, there you go.
You know what? It's raining outside. I think I'm going to stay in bed just a longer.
I love it.
You know, not
yes.
getting up at 6 o'clock every
right.
day and worrying about the weather and if I can get to work or not. You know, if I change my plans, I could do so, and nobody, you know, it doesn't really affect the rest of the world.
Paul, are you still doing something, though, through the city? Weren't you on a commission or something?
Yeah, you know, we haven't met in a year or so, but I am the chair of the Charter Commission.
Okay.
But we're kind of an as-needs basis organization.
Okay.
You know, there's no reason to meet unless there are issues before the city council that they want a clarification in terms of they need charter action or not. But we're always at the ready. We have 7 members of the commission. And
I bet that feels good to have your, you know.
Yeah, if you've got the finger in the, you know, toe in the water or something a little bit like that. We did meet a couple of times in the last several years to make recommendations on administrative procedures in regards to the maintenance ordinance in the city, which is funny because I remember help writing that thing some years back during my council member years. So.
Yeah.
So, but we stand at the ready in case the city needs to have the Charter Commission meet again and discuss any issues that they may want to go forward with.
Well, the city certainly is facing some tough times. What are some of the tough times that you remember during your years?
Well, when I was elected mayor, the first thing I thought was important was a new bridge in town. In 2006, when I was elected, remember, we had Old Blue there, and we had four lanes of traffic, 33,000 cars a day, trying to travel that bridge from four lanes going into two-lane bridge, most heavily traveled two-lane bridge in the state. And we were quite concerned after the 35W collapse later on, 2008, about the condition of our bridge, but everybody could see underneath it was starting to deteriorate. So I thought that was significant. You know, I saw a picture recently on Facebook that showed the riverfront prior to the shelter and what we did down there, the riverfront renaissance. Man, oh man, am I proud of that now. I mean, I always was, but when I looked at that picture, that riverfront, we are bringing people of Hastings to their river. You know, Hastings is a river town. That's our roots. We've always been a river town since incorporation of March of 1857. And it makes me proud to see all the activity, and the Parks Department does a great job scheduling that. All the activities going on in that riverfront, that's what we envisioned, you know, 20 years ago, and now we're seeing it in real time.
It's awesome, isn't
it? Those were things. I would say when I was a council member, people kind of forgot about it now, but people have to remember that they designated properties out in Vermilion Township and Vermilion City is going to be the new Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. I was a council member representing the city on an organization called SOAR, Stop Our Airport Relocation, which we had, working on the legislature. That kind of helped a little bit. I understood the dynamics. So did a lot of other people. That was a significant thing. It didn't happen, so people think, oh, maybe it wasn't that big of a deal, but it could have happened.
It certainly could.
And if just close your eyes right now and think what Hastings would look like today.
And sound like.
And sound like today. If that had come to fruition.
No kidding.
Our community would be
completely different.
Completely different.
Absolutely.
And I don't think quite for the better either.
No. Paul, you are not completely different. You're completely the same. It's so good to see you.
Well, you're, I think, the first one who've ever told me that.
So good to see you.
Well,
continued
thank you.
Happiness in your downtime, your retirement. It's not called retirement anymore. What is it called? Your enjoyment of more free time.
My free time.
Yes,
that's
I
what
love
I'll call it.
Great to see you.
Thank you so much for asking me here, and thank you, citizens of Hastings, for supporting me all those many, many years. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you. Paul Hicks, it's so great to get caught up with him on another edition of Where Are They Now on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.